Mariam Mohammed, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. So it's time to start this last session of the 12th Central European Relativity Seminar. We will have three talks now and then the coffee break and then another four talks before we're over. So let's get started this morning session with Mariam Mohammed from Queen Mary University of London. She will be talking on asymptotic charges for spin one and spin two fields at the critical set of null infinity. You have 15 minutes. I will give you a 3 minute warning before.
Over. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So thank you. So hi, everyone. I'm Mary Magdi. I'm a third year PhD student at Queen Mary University of London. As was mentioned, I'll be talking today about the asymptotic charges for spin one and spin two field on Minkowski spacetime. So this is one of the topics that I've been working on with my supervisor Juan, and the full article for this work can be viewed on the archive, and the archive number is shown on the screen. Let's start. So I'll be first giving a brief introduction of the work that I'm presenting today. So I'm gonna start with this diagram on the screen. So this is known as the infrared triangle. At each corner, we have a key subject of research in physics in which a lot of research have been published for quite a long time. More recently, it was noted that these topics are interconnected. So there are main two things to note here. First, that the relation between the different subjects also lead to a better understanding of each of these topics, and this inspire more research for the different subjects. Also, for the topics of asymptotic series and soft theorems, these two are, although they're interesting on their own, they're more of a theoretical subject, and thus the link with the gravitational memory effects makes them more interesting, mainly because of the observational implications. So on the topic of asymptotic symmetries, we can either study the asymptotic symmetries at either null or spatial infinity. And we now know that the asymptotic symmetry group for asymptotically simple spacetime is given by the BMS group, which is an infinite dimensional group that contains as a subgroup the Poincaré group, which is a finite dimensional symmetry group for the flat spacetime. At spatial infinity, the study of asymptotic symmetries have been more challenging, mainly because of the singular nature of spatial infinity in the conformal setting for spacetime with non-vanishing AGM mass. Nonetheless, we have research, a lot of research on this topic. So by different research group, and it's now been established that the asymptotic symmetry group at spatial infinity is also an infinite dimensional symmetry group. So when we look at the symmetry group at, or the charges at null infinity, there's one interesting problem when we consider the asymptotic symmetry, which is a link between the asymptotic symmetries at future and past null infinity. Specifically, if we have a charge Q, which is defined on scribe press, we can take the limit as we approach spatial infinity. And we can also take the limit of the charge, which is defined at scribe minus as we go to spatial infinity. So the problem of the link between these two limits is known as the matching problem. So this problem had been studied by different research groups. In our work, what we mainly focus on the asymptotic charges in Minkowski spacetime, and the matching problem is also linked to our work. But as we will see, it will become clear later in the talk, we do not make any assumptions about any kind of antibodal identification to get matching between the charges. And we also look at the asymptotic charges in the context of an initial variable problem. And this is one of the key things that differentiate what we do from other research groups. So the way we do this is we make use of Friedrich formulation of spatial infinity. So in this representation, spatial infinity is blown up to a cylinder. So we see here we have this three-dimensional diagram where we have the cylinder I connects scry minus, which is past null infinity and future null infinity. The details of obtaining this representation in Minkowski spacetime is not very important for the talk. But to summarize the calculation, if we start from Minkowski physical metric, and if we apply coordinate transformation in which the standard spherical coordinates and are transformed to these coordinates tau and rho. So this coordinate transformation introduced a conformal factor, which gives the unphysical metric in which spatial infinity is represented by a cylinder. So we get the blow up of spatial infinity. So this specific representation of the Friedrich cylinder is called the horizontal representation, because we have, in this case, the past and future null infinity are at the constant tau. So we have this diagram here in which tau is represented on the vertical axis and the rho is on the horizontal axis. And if we look at the unphysical metric in the tau and rho coordinates, we get these different sets. So we have the cylinder I, which is given, identified by tau bigger than minus one and less than one, and rho is equal to zero. Then we also have the critical sets in which past and future null infinity meets the cylinder. So this is identified by tau equal to plus or minus one, and rho is equal to zero. And then finally, because we're interested, as I said, to look at the charges in terms of an initial value problem. So what we want to do is we want to link the charges to the initial data on a Cauchy hypersurface. So if we have this initial hypersurface S, this intersect the cylinder at I zero, and this is identified by tau equals zero and rho equals zero. So the techniques that we use in our work are mainly related to two papers. One is by Friedrich and Tanner, in which the expression for the Neumann-Penrose constants in terms of initial data is obtained. And also a paper by Huan and Edgar, in which they analyze the Neumann-Penrose constants at the critical sets for spin one and spin two field. And they showed that there is no natural correspondence between the Neumann-Penrose constant at past and null infinity, unless the initial data are chosen to be time symmetric. Okay, so for the rest of the talk, I will be giving a brief discussion of our work. So first I will discuss the F gauge and the Neumann-Penrose gauge, and then I will talk about the analysis that we use for the asymptotic charges at spin one field, and then also for spin two field. And then to summarize, I will be giving the main results of our article. First, generally, when we look at the expression for the charges in research, what we usually have is that the expression for the asymptotic charges are given in terms of quantity, which are written in terms of the Neumann-Penrose gauge. So we have the components of the field written in terms of these frames, which are adapted to null infinity, and they satisfy the Neumann-Penrose conditions. However, the frames that are more suited for the Friedrich formulation of spatial infinity are frames which are adapted to conformal JD6 and to Cauchy hypersurface. So the first step in our calculation is that we want to transform the charges that we have from the Neumann-Penrose gauge to the F gauge. So thankfully, we have the transformation between these different frames have been discussed in general setting in the paper by Friedrich and Kanner. And more specifically for our work, because we're working in Minkowski, the explicit transformation in the case of Minkowski is also given in the paper by Huan and Edgar. So we were able to use that to write the charges and the F gauge. So then to analyze the charges specifically for the spin two field, we work in spinor notation. And in this case, we have that the spin one field is expressed by symmetric valence to space spinner.
Question?
Yeah, sure.
So you are on Minkowski spacetime now?
Yes, okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
In this case, we have this spin one field satisfy the wave equation. And then if we contract this field with the F gauge frames, what we get, we have these three components, phi zero and phi one and phi two. And then we can write these expression at first order in terms of spin weighted spherical harmonics. And then we have some higher order terms which are vanishing on the cylinder. So then if we make use of this expansion, and then we also expand the wave equation in terms of the F gauge, and then if we consider some generic initial data, boosted initial data, which are consistent with our field expansion, what we get is that the solution for the coefficient A1 diverge logarithmically at tau equal plus or minus one. So the reason we're interested specifically for the coefficient A1 is because it's what appears in the charges. Then if we restrict our data set by applying certain regularity condition, we find that the solution for A1 is written in terms of Legendre polynomial and proportion by a constant, which depends on L and M. So in our work, we're mainly looking at the asymptotic charges, which are super translation charges. So these are associated with a smooth function on S2. And for simplicity, we can consider that these charges can be written in terms of spherical harmonics YLM. Then if we assume initial data that satisfy our regularity condition, what we get is that the charges at I plus and I minus are proportional to A1 bar at tau equal plus or minus one. And this gives us that the charges at I plus is equal to the charges at I minus, multiplied by the factor minus one to the power of L. So then the process for analyzing the charges for spin two fields is very similar. So in this case, we have, this is represented by a valence for symmetric space spinner. Again, this satisfy so this is known as a Weyl spinner, and this satisfy this wave equation. And in this case, if we contract with the F gauge frames, we get five different components. And again, we're specifically interested in the solution for the middle component, because it's the one that appear in the charge. So if we expand the equation and also use this expansion, and then if we consider generic initial boosted initial data, what we get is that the solution for A2 also diverges at null infinity. However, if we consider initial data which satisfies certain regularity conditions, then what we get is that the charges are expressed in terms of the freely specified data, and we get well-defined charges at the critical sets. And these charges are proportional to the coefficient A2. And we also get a natural correspondence between the charges at I plus and at I minus. Okay, so to summarize the main results for our article, we have this theorem. So we have that for generic boosted initial data sets, the asymptotic charges at the critical sets are well-defined if and only if the freely specifiable data satisfies certain regularity condition. And then for a given harmonic, the charges are expressed in terms of the freely specifiable initial data. And we also have a natural correspondence between the charges at I plus and at I minus. Okay, so the last thing I want to say here is that in this paper, we focused on Minkowski spacetime, as I said, to look at the spin one and spin two fields as asymptotic charges. So this project serves as a prototype for our next research project, which we're trying to do a similar analysis, but for the charges in the full gravity setting. So the matching problem specifically was also looked in the full gravity by Karthik Prabhu in 2019. But in his work, what he was using, he's using Ashoker and Hansen formulation of asymptotic flatness. However, because as I said, we're mainly specifically interested in looking at this problem in the context of an initial value problem and also making use of free dip formulation. So this work will be in collaboration between me and my supervisor Juan, and also with Karthik. Okay, so this is the end of my talk. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thanks for this very nice talk. Are there questions?
Yes. So let me just, I think it was an excellent talk, except that I couldn't read what you had on your slides.
And sorry.
Because it's way too small. So if you receive the invitation to, when you receive the invitation to join this meeting, there was a link to a video which tells you what not to do, in particular, not to do small fonts. So I still encourage you to look at this video.
right.
Now,
thank
I have
you.
On the other hand, because I couldn't read what you were saying, I was forced to listen, and actually, probably maybe that's a good strategy, right? You write things too small so that people listen to you rather than they read. Well, in any case, I think it's very interesting. So this framework of Prabhu, well, he's assuming so many things that, of course, once you've assumed enough, there's nothing to prove. So I'm just, you know, there are so many indications that generic initial data, which are smooth at square minus, will give logarithm square plus. So somehow you should keep this in mind when trying to extend this, these results.
Okay, yeah, thank you,
Other questions? Are there any questions online? All right, then let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you.